What's up, everyone? Happy New Year, folks! Welcome back to Dropping Dimes. This is the Weekly Dime, the show where we round up the most recent happenings in the world of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And I'm joined by my fantastic co-hosts who are not hungover from New Year's Eve. So thank you, guys. I have the Sage of the Golden Ratio, the Zen Master. Evans, how are you, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. That's a cool name you just gave me, too.
The Sage of the Golden Ratio.
He's very creative, right?
Holy smokes.
Yeah. It takes a lot of time to come up with these, especially for you.
Maybe they should hire you to come up with the City Edition concept.
No, I think Hallmark would be...
Oh, Hallmark, for sure.
Hallmark, I would be fantastic writing those letters, cards, sorry. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited for this episode.
It's going to be
pretty,
a really good
pretty
one.
Pretty fun one, so.
And we're also joined by the man who I spent almost 8 years living with this decade, Rafael. How are you, man?
I'm great, and you?
Good, thank you.
Great to be back. That's 3 episodes in a row. I mean, that might be a record for this season, this NBA season.
And what a way to wrap up the decade, right?
Yeah. It's the third consecutive episode that the three of us will be recording.
And the last one?
No, not the last
of the year.
One. Last one of the year, yes, but...
Yeah. No, first one of the year.
First one of the new year, yes. Yeah.
This is right. 2020, guys, come on.
Yes.
Still behind.
This is releasing on January 1st, 2020. This is our 49th episode. Oh, 49, guys.
That's why. It's because it's the first day of the new year. That's why we're still a bit confused.
Makes sense.
I think so. Yeah, exactly. We have a fantastic show, and, you know, it is a weekly dime show, and we always try to bring you the most recent happenings in the world of basketball. Not that there wasn't anything happening, but we just ended a new year and a whole decade. I can't believe that another 10 years flew by almost. And because of that, and because everyone is probably tired and hungover listening to this podcast, which we really appreciate you.
Just like
Thank
every
you.
Sunday.
Just like every Sunday, potentially. So it's no different than your Sunday. We're going to make it easy on you and a little bit entertaining. So instead of just discussing the weekly gossip and games that happened throughout this week, we decided to take a look back at the past decade and come up with our top 5 most memorable moments of the decade. So if you're a fan of the show, you know how our top 5 works. We each pick a moment, we discuss it, we share it, and then we yell at each other. So, like any other family, because it's the holidays. Do you guys come up with your 5 moments of the decade?
Yes.
It was a lot to come up with. And I didn't make the clarification, but I hope that these are basketball related moments. I mean, if you want to share something from your life, more than welcome to. I'm pretty sure that our listeners wouldn't mind getting to know us a little bit more.
Ex-partner stories?
Sure. If that cracked your top 10 of the decade, sure. But why don't we get started? Because I feel like it's gonna be an entertaining and potentially a long one.
If it made my top 10 moments of the decade, top five moments of the decade, they wouldn't be ex-partner. They would be current partner, right?
Damn, that's kind of cold. Why you always got to be like that? We're always in the holiday mood and you bring us down. All right. As the tradition goes, we're going to start off with Rafael.
Why?
Because that's tradition,
man. It's a new year. We should start a new tradition.
No, you don't mess with tradition.
Okay.
All right. So from the decade, which I'm going to go ahead and, you know, give not a warning, but an acknowledgement. As I was writing these, a lot of my top moments were from the second half of the decade. I realized that. I was looking back at the years and maybe it's just because I have bad memory, but a lot of them are fairly recent as well.
I tried to spread mine out a bit.
I tried my best, but oh well.
I was also under impression that it was all NBA related, so.
It is. Mine are all NBA related. Unless you want to share something personal. Yet.
Okay. If I come up with one.
So we're starting from...
From the fifth one, so. Fifth.
Oh, these are in order.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least,
you have until Rafael is done to order them. Sorry, I should have clarified that. It's the holidays, guys. It's the turkey. It's okay. I'm tired.
It's okay.
A turkey coma. I'm sorry. All right, let's start from the worst of the best.
Okay. So my fifth pick goes to D. Rose becoming the youngest MVP of all time in 2011.
Wow.
He was only 21 when he was selected as the MVP.
Right, right.
And I mean, that's like most players, they reach their apex when they're like 28.
Right.
On average. Mm-hmm. And he was selected as the MVP when he was 21. So that's very impressive.
Yeah.
But what we didn't realize was that actually that was his apex. So after that, his career went downhill.
It's kind of, I mean, it's sort of a bittersweet moment, don't you think? I mean,
yes.
To think that in 2011 he was the youngest MVP, and now, I mean, not that he's irrelevant, but he's not the same player, and all the injuries, and it's kind of sad. Thank you for bringing us down all the way.
But it was an amazing season, and I think it really, really deserves to be one of the top moments of the decade, and I think it will be remembered for a long, long time.
D-Rose is, I think he revolutionized, or he was one of the trailblazers for the school of new point guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still explosive, but when he, you know, young D-Rose from the Chicago Bulls, he was explosive. He would, you know, pull off these amazing layups. Like, he would just twist in ways that the human body doesn't know midair.
Yeah.
And get it in.
And no shot.
No shot,
He didn't have a shot either, though.
But he did have a couple MVP moments with the Bulls. What was that series that he was just like, you know, poker face? I can't remember who they eliminated. It might have been either the Pistons or the Celtics.
Pistons. Yeah.
That he eliminated them with a shot. It was a jumper from, if I'm not mistaken, from the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I'm not a huge fan of score first or scoring point guards. But, I mean, I must give him the respect that he deserves.
Yeah.
But I think before him, Stephen Marbury, I think he can also be considered a scoring point guard. Maybe not as explosive, not as athletic,
right,
but he was also a scoring point guard. And what about Gilbert Arenas? Is he a scoring point guard?
I think
he's kind of like a tweener, though. He was more like a shooting guard, leaning.
I would not consider him a point guard, even if he brought the ball up most of the time. Like, he was a guard. Mm-hmm. He's the definition of a guard, period. But I think, you know, Derrick Rose is what opened the door for players like Russell Westbrook.
For sure, yeah.
Players like, who else, like Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Ja Morant. I see a lot of Derrick Rose in Ja Morant. Like, the way that he attacks the rim without caring about his body.
Yeah.
It's impressive. And I just hope that Ja has a healthier career than Derrick Rose.
But I think his body type is different, right? I think he's leaner, and Derrick Rose was like more athletic, more, I think, very strong. And
Derrick Rose recently, you know, talking about Zion, he did say that he was a little bit heavier than he should have been at the beginning of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Ja is a lot leaner.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that was good. Kind of bittersweet, but good. Very good retrospect in D. Rose's career. I don't mean to put you in the spotlight, Evs, but do you have a time to rank your five moments?
Yeah, kind of. We're going the worst.
The worst or the best?
The best.
All right, number five.
I'm going with the 2012 Lakers.
The 2012 Lakers?
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing to really celebrate about, but It was a chance for Nash on possibly winning a ring that year when he joined Kobe and Dwight.
Oh, this hurts. This one hurts me.
Injuries to Nash early didn't help. We thought that maybe uniting Nash and D'Antoni would be good, but the pick and roll was just not working with Dwight Howard.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, and then them making Kobe the primary ball handler and Nash the spot up didn't quite work either. So, I don't know. That one sticks out a lot because I really thought, you know, that was going to be a pretty good team, but it was complete opposite. So
it was a very disappointing season. I can say that as a Lakers fan.
Right.
But wait, I just want to clarify one thing regarding our criteria.
Wait here. For your turn.
No, no.
Oh, for you. Sorry.
The criteria when we selected the top five. So when we're going from fifth to first, we are still talking about the most relevant moments of the decade, right?
What do you think?
Your top.
Yeah.
What you think were the most relevant.
Okay, but the fifth not necessarily needs to be something bad or negative.
Well, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have to be positive all the time. It can be something negative or not necessarily positive. Like, this is a good example.
Something that stood out. Because the Lakers example, it's something that it was
a huge signing.
And it was it became huge news because it's the Lakers and because they brought a lot of star players.
Well, it was Dwight Howard, like Orlando Magic Dwight Howard, coming almost out of that final series against the Lakers. Right. Almost.
Almost, yeah.
And then joining Kobe, Pau Gasol, and Steve Nash.
Right, I forgot Pau too, yeah.
He was still there.
Right.
I was so excited. I remember when we got Dwight, I thought, even though he was coming back from back surgery, I thought that, you know, it was like a new Shaq and Kobe era.
Mm.
But this time Kobe was sort of the veteran and Pau was there as a wise veteran to keep everything under control. And Steve Nash knew Mike D'Antoni's system. And even though he was, you know, at the sunset of his career, that he would still be able to be Steve Nash, right? And dish the ball, drop a lot of dimes. And it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that I regret even to this day is not having a Steve Nash Lakers jersey. So if someone out there has a
surprise
medium or large size Steve Nash Lakers jersey that you're willing to part ways with, hit me up at RG11RV on Instagram. We can make a trade.
Stop asking for fans.
No, I'm just
asking for gifts.
No,
sponsors.
Christmas is over, bro. Yeah.
But I was so happy because Steve Nash was or is one of my favorite players ever.
Yeah,
and for him to join my favorite team is.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna have wait until your you're gonna have to wait until your birthday for a gift. So
that's true. Yeah. Still follow me. You know, whatever. Someone's knocking at the door. hold on. So one of the things that I vividly remember from those Lakers is I think it was after the seventh game of the season or something like that, and I think we were playing the. Or was it the season opener? I can't remember. We were playing the Blazers, if I remember correctly. Steve Nash brings the ball up, steps on Damian Lillard or something like that, and then he drops the ball, grabs his shin, and you could tell that he was in a lot of pain.
Right.
And that's when I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. He had a hairline fracture on his...
is it kneecap, shin?
It was on the shin. I can't remember the name of the bone right now, but... Yeah. And that's when it was just the beginning. It was almost like a
start.
Yeah.
Evans,
bad omen.
Do you see what you've done?
Sorry, man.
You brought up the Lakers, and now we're going to have to deal with this for like the next 19 minutes. He's going to be talking about
good
the
thing
Lakers.
That's my only Lakers one.
Can you guys pour me a drink? Here's one for the 2012 Lakers. I don't want to do this anymore.
Damn.
All right. No, that was good. That was good. All right. My number five moment of the decade, and this might be on your guys' list. Maybe not. The Raptors winning the NBA title this past season.
That is on my list.
And I assume ranked higher and with obvious reasons.
Higher than five.
Yeah.
I have something related to that, but it's not exactly the title itself.
For me, it's the title and... You know, it is the worst of my best because, well, first of all, I'm not a Raptors fan, but I do live in Canada. I was very excited to see that run. It was I recently was writing a short piece that you guys will see up very soon.
Nice.
And I was listening to Marv Albert's call on Game 7 of the series against the Sixers. You know, the Kawhi shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not Marv Albert. I'm
pretty
the opposite. But it was just, I was listening to it and it just, you know, I had chills in my body. Like, Marv Albert on the mic goes, it's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger? Bounce. 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 Yeah. And then he goes, oh! Game! Series! Toronto has won! I mean, even just recreating that moment, it's just like, ah, we will always remember where we were for that shot, for that entire series. So, it is hard to not include it. And honestly, I did not want to include it because it's so recent. And I feel like I was cheating, but
it was kind of a big deal.
I don't know if we're going to be alive when the Raptors might win again, and that are we even going to be in Canada anymore? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So I had to include it.
I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be alive when the Blazers win again.
That's so pessimistic. Damn. You never know. I mean,
start to the year.
Yeah, it's January 1st, man. Come on. All right. Number 4. In the tradition, we're going to skip Raphael and we're going to start off with Evans because that's how we do.
I don't understand these traditions.
we've done that all year. So Evans, get us started with number 4.
I think I'm going to go with the 2018 Hall of Fame inductees, actually. Just thinking about our last episode and, you know, our Hall of Fame talk there. You know, with Ray Allen, Jason Kidd, Grant Hill, and Nash being nominated, thought that was a cool thing because growing up, really enjoyed watching those guys. I mean, Ray Allen, 2-time champ, Jay Kidd, 1-time, Nash, back-to-back MVPs, and you got Grant Hill, who like came back from nearly like a career-ending ankle injuries and bounced back, became an all-star and key contributor as well as a recipient of like apparently 3 sportsmanship awards. So, you know, all 4 of these guys, class acts, really, you know, was a big influence on me when I came up watching the game. So, yeah, I think 2018 Hall of Fame inductees are one of my top moments.
A very strong class, very, very strong class. And I was very happy because, you know, as a point guard and in the position that I've always loved, to see Jason Kidd and Steve Nash being inducted, I was very happy. And to me, it was very well deserved.
And with all, like, the relations to, like, them playing together and, you know, Nash playing with Grant Hill as well on the Suns.
Oh, you're right.
That was cool, like, yeah, that everything kind of came full circle with these guys.
And Jason Kidd at least got a chance to win a championship with the Mavs. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Steve Nash and Grant Hill, they didn't, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. They're in the pantheon of great players that never won.
Right.
They have to be up there with Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, sure. and all those guys.
Yeah.
But Grant Hill, you're right. When he joined the Suns, that's when he managed to find his new role. He was a very good player with the Suns.
He was very very solid, very consistent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But completely different player than what he was at the beginning when of his career. Yeah.
Pistons, yeah. I mean, he had a great career with the Magic too, right? Him and T-Mac.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he was a disappointment with the Magic, to be honest.
I think he was more of a contributor with the Suns.
Yeah, with the Magic, that's when he got injured. He was still coming back with injury, he was out for a long time.
That's true.
T-Mac had to carry that team alone for a long time.
Yeah,
and he was always like, I think he always talks about what could have been if they were both playing, you know, together.
I think it is a shame that Grant Hill didn't get a chance to be a Piston for life. I think he was a good embodiment of the Detroit Pistons mentality. He wasn't cocky, but he had confidence, and I think he would have been a very good Detroit Piston for the rest of his career, or for most of it. So it was kind of sad to see him bouncing from team to team. I can't believe that Grant Hill was part of the decade. That's kind of surreal. It feels like forever ago. Yeah.
Yes. And I do think that Magic team, though, even with Grant Hill, they were not good enough to
get anywhere far.
Yeah, to get a ring. The other players were, like, really...
No-namers. Maybe your boy Daryl Armstrong was on there.
He was a very good player for the expectations, right? He had a very low bar when he came into the league. But, I mean, other than T-Mac and Grant Hill...
Yeah.
And then, for a while, they had Mike Miller when he was a rookie, right?
Right, rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Alrighty. That was a good one. You have very good, thoughtful moments. Like they're
trying, man.
Good job. Alright. You ready for my next one? My number 4 moment of the decade comes from 2018, and it's from July 1st, 2018. Whoa. Does that ring a bell for you guys? July 1st, 2018. So it's the off season.
The decision.
No, it's a decision. Whose decision? LeBron James going to the Lakers.
Ah, okay.
That to me, it's the 2010s were a weird decade for the Lakers because they started off winning, but then, and then Kobe retired, and then we've been bad for a long time, right? So LeBron signing with the Lakers was the dawn of a new era, the beginning of things turning around for the franchise. And I mean, there's always going to be drama with the Lakers. That's super obvious. Mm-hmm. But that to me was just like, again, a huge star player wants to go play for the Lakers. That's good for the franchise. It's good for the NBA when the Lakers are good. I've said it many times and I will always defend it. So, and as a Lakers fan, I mean, to know that your team is stacked with legends, you know, now that he's number four in the all-time scoring list, they're the top five players. There are three that are Lakers: Kareem, Kobe, and LeBron. So to me, as a Lakers fan, it was just a fantastic moment. And despite being a fan of Kobe throughout his time in LA, I welcomed LeBron with open arms.
I guess that you're right about you're right when you say that it's good for the league when the Lakers are doing well, but I only think that that's true domestically. So the domestic market really cares about what the Lakers are doing and how they're doing. Internationally, I don't think that makes a difference. I don't think that a fan in China is really worried about the Lakers as long as they have a very good story like the Warriors and the Splash Brothers and so on.
I agree. No, actually, sorry. No, I disagree. I disagree. I'm sorry.
Check
but
that.
Because I think that there are...
Look, we're going to have to check the how you edit this episode before you post it because I don't want you to remove that.
No. I disagree because I think there are certain teams in the NBA that have some sort of cult almost following in other countries. Mm. And there's only a few of the teams that have fans abroad. And those are the Knicks, the Lakers, the Bulls,
yeah.
Maybe the Celtics.
Probably the Celtics.
And I would dare to say that's it, those four.
Well, maybe the Rockets in China when Yao Ming was playing.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
But then
true.
There's some issues there now as well.
Yeah.
With the relationship between Rockets
and leave it
and
there
China.
Because we don't
yeah.
want any trouble.
Yeah.
But I think that the Lakers are one of those teams that everyone just, even if you're not a fan, it's a brand.
It's iconic,
right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it would be tough to think that people don't care about the Lakers. Domestically, obviously, we care because, you know, they're one more team. They've been a member of the league for a long time. And I don't want to make it a Lakers podcast, but maybe I should. 2020 Lakers podcast.
Yeah. But I think they would be more relevant internationally if the game was as international as it is today when you had the Lakers with Magic Johnson and Kareem and so on. Like, you know, the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if that was the case back then it would be a team that would have even more it would be even more relevant internationally.
I mean, we have yet to see how the season is going to end up looking like, but they look pretty Showtime-y to me.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have another Lakers moment in my list, so I'll stop there for now.
Okay.
Rafael, number four.
Number four for me, when Russell Westbrook became the second player in NBA history to average a triple-double during the entire regular season.
Russell Westbrook.
Well,
still a top moment.
Yeah, I need to give credit
where it's due.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that was very impressive. You know that I have, you know,
feelings.
Feelings of
certain feelings.
Yeah, and sometimes
wow.
I feel like he might be, you know, out there thinking about his triple double instead of thinking about his team sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think it was impressive, and I think he's a player that, regardless of my, you know,
opinion
my opinion and my issues with him, I do feel like he's someone that we all should admire for his for how he plays and how passionate he is.
That's true.
And how hard he works.
He's the definition of hustle, I feel. Even when he's not having a good game, he still runs the court. He's got that
intensity all the time.
He's scary, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like to play against him. But I think I would like him as a... would I like him as a teammate? I don't know, actually.
Bit intense.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Imagine a team with Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. Imagine being one of their teammates.
Ooh.
No, that's a bomb waiting to explode right there. I wouldn't like to be caught up in the middle of that. Or them having an argument? No. No, thank you. No.
Big three. Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook, and Karl Anthony Towns.
I think Cat would turn himself out.
Oh, but they already
played
together. Yeah, Jimmy Butler already played with him. And
but
that didn't work out.
Yeah.
No, I think Dion Waiters. I thought he was banned from the podcast, but...
Yeah.
We love him.
I mean, that team would need a lot of CBD pleasure. Oil. A lot of CBD
oil.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's move on to the third round, number three. I'll get us started on that round. And this one's a bit more reflective. I think that this moment includes Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Dwayne Wade, and Dirk Nowitzki. Because all these legends retired in this decade. So Steve Nash retired in 2015, Kobe and Tim Duncan in 2016, Manu in 2018, Tony Parker, Dwayne Wade, and Dirk Nowitzki in 2018-2019.
Dirk Nowitzki in 2014?
No.
Oh.
So it's a lot. It was a lot of amazing players that retired, and I think I might have forgotten Jason Kidd in there potentially. Yeah. But there's, I think those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 names that I just mentioned were huge. Those are huge names in the NBA.
You forgot Rasheed Wallace.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with forgetting Rasheed. Don't get me wrong. Like any player that becomes relevant in the NBA and retires deserves to be celebrated, but these guys definitely changed the game in their own way. And yeah, it's bittersweet because, you know, every time they would retire, I would see their highlights and how insane it is that, you know, Steve Nash's court vision, Manu coming out of the bench his entire career and being okay with that and being, you know, taking Argentina to beating the U.S. and winning a gold.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Parker and Dirk, you know, this European kids out of nowhere that became staples. Dirk winning a championship, Tony Parker winning multiple ones.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Wade, I remember when he first started in the league, I became a huge fan of his.
Yeah.
He was, from what I remember and from the few games that I used to watch back home, one of the first players that I remember wearing leggings, like just spandex on his legs.
Right.
And I remember asking my parents to buy me spandex because I wanted to look like him. I had his Converse shoes. I had, I think, Rafael, you and I had the same Dwayne Wade shoe.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had three pairs, Dwayne Wade
I had a special edition one that was all black with yellow details and red details.
We had that. That was the same one that we had, I think.
I remember one that you had that was white, black and white with some details in red.
His Converse?
Converse. Yeah, when he was with Converse. Yeah.
Shout out to Converse.
Shout out, yeah.
Damn.
I was a huge fan of Dwayne Wade. And, you know, he went from Flash to like... he matured very early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a lot of success with the big three, with the Heatles. So,
the Heatles.
And I think, you know, for a number of reasons and injuries, and I don't want to remember the Chicago and Cleveland years, but his career was cut short, I believe. When we compare them to the other legends, maybe a little bit short. So big, big shout out to all those guys that retired in this decade. And yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and say that we lost a lot from them or are part of the game because, you know, there are more players coming up and it's exciting, but
they definitely left their mark.
Yeah, they left their mark.
Legacy.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and say that a lot of them, like Manu, Tony, Steve Nash, even Duncan have become criminally underrated in the pantheon of superstars.
Superstars, right.
So
partly due to their you know, their demeanor and who they were too, right?
Exactly.
They didn't really, you know, go for the limelight or anything.
But I feel like Dirk, everyone sort of respects his legacy. But if you think of Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, you go like, yeah, they were good. But I think they're criminally underrated. And Steve Nash, to a degree, same. He's criminally underrated as a legend.
Don't you think that Steve Nash is a similar case to, like, for example, John Stockton?
I think that there's, you know, there's something about being underrated as an active player, but you're still, like, people still talk about you and as an underrated player, but when you retire and you're a underrated retired legend, there's no way back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only the people that saw you playing live that can speak for what it was. Because newer generations are going to be with what is relevant to them.
It's just that, like, with those two, Steve Nash and John Stockton, they have very similar stats and careers. And, you know, they were very strong when it came to assists and also scoring and, like, the energy that they brought to the court.
Yeah.
But they were missing a ring.
Yeah.
That's basically why they are underrated.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's... We're going to see it happen a few times during our lifetime. We're going to see that happen again and again.
Yeah. Being really good and not getting that ring.
Still hit me up if you have a Steve Nash Lakers jersey, please.
Yeah.
All right. Rafael, number three.
So I think this one, you already touched on this a little bit, but I picked Kawhi's buzzer beater game 7 against the 76ers.
Yeah.
I didn't pick the Raptors title.
Right.
I picked that specific moment because I think that moment, as you mentioned, will be remembered forever as a turning point and as a very exciting buzzer beater.
Mm-hmm.
I think people will remember that more than they will remember, for example, the parade in Toronto.
Well, I don't know. If you attended the parade, I can see how you can remember that all your life.
Yeah, but how many people attended the parade?
I mean, only if you're a Raptors fan or you were in Toronto. But I think basketball fans, we can all remember where we were.
During a buzzer beater. Important buzzer beater, right?
Four bounces?
Yeah. Do you guys remember where you were?
That was suspenseful, man. I don't remember where I was.
I just remember watching it live. Yeah, I was watching at home, I think.
I think I was at home, too.
I remember... What I was wearing, I remember the entire circumstance.
Yeah,
I was this close, like, you know, hair thin to this, like, dismissing the game because I thought that it was a sort of a broken play, and I was about to stand up.
Oh.
And if it wasn't for my girlfriend, shout out, that said, like, just stay, it's almost over. I was like, fine, but I was before the inbounds play, I had stood up from. We were watching it on our laptops, and I was like, "Nah, it's gonna go to overtime."
Right, and it drops.
And it drops, and
you jump up.
I jumped on the bench where I'm sitting at right now, and I started, and we both started yelling.
Yeah.
And then I just went in shock. I was just like, "I can't believe I saw that."
I think if I was watching it at home. So in that case, I also remember what I was wearing, but you guys don't want to know.
I don't want to know. No, I don't want to know.
Let's hope you were.
Do you remember where you were?
I think it was just at home, and I definitely got out of my couch because I was shocked when the ball dropped. It was just like, holy shit, that just happened. They're going to the finals.
Yeah. Well, no, they were moving on to Milwaukee.
Moving on to Milwaukee, sorry. Yeah. But that was, such a big game, big moment.
All right. Aves, number three.
Number three, I chose the 2011 Mavs, the year they actually won.
Oh,
they
beat the Heat.
I mean, it was a rematch of the 06 series. Finally seeing Dirk get his first ring was nice. Seeing Jason Kidd get his first ring. Who else was there? I think Sean Marion.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, possibly.
Let's be real, no.
And that same year, I think Jason Terry had tattooed the Larry O.B.
on his
bicep and basically calling the championship, and then them actually winning was kind of wild. I mean, I remember watching it at a friend's house, and then right after the championships, we got a phone call, a long-distance call from our friend all the way out in Taiwan, because he was watching it too. Damn. And so we were just celebrating over the phone because we were all cheering for the Mavs over the Heat. So
yeah, that's a really good, like the Raptors, he was a really good underdog story.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, well-deserved championship. They had a really pretty deep team too, actually. They had, like, I think Tyson Chandler was on
there. They had Tyson Chandler, Jason Kidd.
Deshaun Stevenson was hitting clutch threes. And yeah.
Where is he now?
Big three.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say probably recording a podcast, but big three is also a good guess.
Yes. Yeah, so that's my third pick.
That's a good one. I remember watching that finals, and it was, I mean, Dirk was out of his mind.
Actually,
and he was sick for one of the games. Like, he had somewhat of a Michael Jordan moment.
Flu game, yeah.
Yeah. If there's one thing that I will always remember from that Mavericks team, you know, aside from everything that we just mentioned, is that I think they went to game six, or was it all the way to game seven? I can't remember.
It was six.
And this is not something new, but I don't know, it left an imprint in my memory that the entire team dressed in black, all the Mavericks dressed in black, because they knew that was it. They were going to put it to bed.
Crazy.
They said, we're dressed up for the funeral of the Heat because we're winning this today.
Wow.
And up to this day, when I have a super important meeting at work, I try to dress all in black.
Because of
inspired
the
from that Mavericks team.
That's good. Good side note. I think was JJ Barea on that team as well? I'm trying to think.
He must have. JJ Barea is, I feel like he's been
there forever. He's a Mavs legend.
He should be.
He got to retire his jersey there.
But I think the Mavs are very good when it comes to showing respect to their former players. Mm. A lot of their former players came back to retire there.
Whom?
JJ Barea will probably end up retiring there. Well, I mean, it's similar to Dirk, right? He's already retired.
Right.
He just happened to still be there.
Around.
Yeah. But also, you remember Devin Harris? What was his name?
He's still there, isn't he?
Yes.
He's still there?
Yes. So
shout out Devin Harris.
His best seasons were not even with the Mavs. I think they were with the Nets.
He was very good with the Nets.
And
playing with Kidd.
Yeah.
And he's still there.
Yeah, that's crazy. He must be up there with like the Vince Carters and the other long-standing veterans.
He's with Dallas. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Shout out to Devin Harris.
Shout out, yeah, for crazy. Sure. But do you guys think that Steve Nash should have been honored by the Mavs when he retired?
What do you mean by honored? Like,
I mean, Steve Nash was
a jersey there?
No, not to that degree, because I think he was more important to the Suns. Which, by the way, shame on the Suns, because they've only made him like part of the Ring of Honor or whatever equivalent.
Is that not a jersey retirement?
I guess so, but his name is on the arena, but they don't have. I don't know if it's just a decision from the Suns to not have retired jerseys like on the rafters. I want to see that. I want to see Nash's jersey hanging from the rafters, not just his name on the circle of the arena.
Do they have Barkley's jersey?
I think so. I think they have Dan Marley even.
If you're the Suns, you should make sure that you add as many shirts as you can and you retire them, because you're not going to be adding any banners anytime soon.
That's true.
Otherwise, it's going to be very empty.
Yeah.
Just retire those jerseys when you can.
Hang some big jerseys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Please do that. All right, is it my turn?
I think so,
yeah.
Did you say, wait, what was your number two again?
My number three was...
We're number three.
We just finished three.
Yeah, okay.
And now it's number two, right?
Number two.
Starting number two.
And we're starting off with...
With me?
With you,
okay.
Yes.
So my number two, again, I picked someone that I don't really like, but I...
Wow, this is a mature Raphael. 2020 is the year of mature Raph.
I recognize that this is an important player for the league. Mm. So my number two is LeBron's return to Cleveland.
Good.
In 2014.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
So I intentionally did not pick the time that he moved to Miami, because I really, really hated him when he did that.
I remember.
I did not pick the time that he moved to the Lakers, because I also think that's a soft move. But I
Why? Picked, the Lakers sucked.
I picked his return to Cleveland, because for me, that was basically LeBron admitting that he was wrong when he first left.
What?
Mm. Yeah. Whoa. And that
hot take.
And that getting a ring at any cost was more important than his home team.
Wait, I have so many issues with everything that you just said. One of them is his move to the Lakers is soft. The Lakers sucked. It's not like he pulled that Kevin Durant.
Let's not make this about the Lakers. Let's fair, not bring okay. the Lakers.
Now, that he was wrong? The man won two rings and went to four straight finals? How is that being wrong?
Yeah,
if he were wrong, he would have not gone to any finals. He would have not won any championships. That's being wrong,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but with that super team move to Miami, he ended up getting a lot of like haters and negative media and so on.
Yeah, but that, you know, he was sort of, he took the burden and now it's common. He started or at least brought us to the new age of like star empowerment, like player empowerment, where players are no longer just going to go with what they are told, but they realize that they have a voice. And this is why Kawhi is with the Clippers. This is why LeBron now is with the Lakers. This is why Jimmy Butler is with Miami. And I could go on and on. So, controversial, yeah. But I guess that's why it's a tough moment of the decade, yeah.
I like the fact that he decided to go back and try to give the city of Cleveland what he was not able to give them when he was younger.
Gotta respect that, yeah.
So I think he earned a little bit of more of my respect back when he did that.
And I think in that series against the Warriors, when they won, I think LeBron had arguably the play of his career. That block against Iguodala.
Yes.
I think that was
one of the biggest plays he's ever made.
Yeah, really. I mean, he's had many.
And that being a defensive play too, right? So
it's rare that, you know, when we think of, say, Jordan or Kobe or any other legend, you know, we think of an offensive play, but with LeBron, we will remember this block.
Series saving block. Right?
And I mean, the fact that he managed to get a ring having Dellavedova as his backup point guard, that speaks a lot.
Wasn't he starting?
Starting point guard. That's even worse.
Dele, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Dele, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, LeBron, and J.R. Smith.
That tells you a lot about how good LeBron James is.
True.
I mean, I don't think any other team could get a ring with Dellavedova as the starter, the starting point guard.
To his credit, Dele, he was on. Like, I don't know if you guys consider him a dirty player, but he was diving for every ball.
That was kind of his role. All the dirty plays, hustle plays.
So he almost got a ring with Delonte West as the starting point guard when he was first there with Cleveland.
He went to the finals. And then Anderson Varejão.
And
Zilgauskas.
He made it to the playoffs when Zilgauskas was like 45 years old.
Yeah.
Even though he always looked 45.
Sidrunas Ilgauskas.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Ilgauskas.
He always looked 45.
Yeah. I think he was born old.
Yeah. He looked like Dirk looked during his last season, his retirement season. Zilgauskas looked like that his whole career.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But anyways, and then when he moved to Miami, they got two rings, and who was the starting point guard? Was it Mario Chalmers? Yeah, that's also. What did he do after that time with Miami?
Isn't he with the Big Three now?
He's also in Big Three.
Yeah.
But I think he played pro ball in some other leagues. Australian League, maybe? Euro League?
Maybe, yeah.
Continued playing. Yeah, he doesn't stop.
Did Jason Williams get a ring with the Miami Heat?
He did.
Yeah.
But that was with Dwayne Wade and Shaq.
Dwayne Wade and Shaq, yeah.
Also, Gary Payton gonna get a ring there.
Yeah.
And Antoine Walker.
Mm-hmm. True.
He probably sold that.
But that's not this decade. That's
a different decade.
Yeah. That ring is probably at a pawn shop somewhere in Las Vegas.
<Shut up.
laughs> Or you can find it on Amazon.
Maybe a replica of it, yeah.
eBay.
Yeah. All right. Evans, you're number two.
Number two is a toss-up. I couldn't really decide on my one or two.
Just give us both. We're in that mood.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with 2015 Warriors. Because that season really got me to enjoy watching basketball again. Just really enjoyed watching the style of play. And it was Kerr's first, you know, head coaching gig. And it got me interested in actually coaching again, too. So I don't know. I just really like that, you know, the joy that the team brought, and they were just kind of unmatched that year, their style of play. And how can you forget the Klay Thompson 37-point quarter? That was pretty wild too. So yeah, 2015 Warriors championship. That's when they were fun to watch, when they weren't stacked with KD and whatnot.
Okay, so. But that's not the 73-9 season.
That's the year after.
That's the year after. Yeah, that's not the 73-9.
No, where they lost the finals.
Yeah. I mean, and we just talked about it. Like that's the LeBron James dunk.
That's the LeBron James.
That's the Kyrie shot.
Kyrie shot. Yeah, it was their year to make that comeback. But it was just fun watching these younger Warriors trying to figure it out. They had, you know, they had veterans like Iguodala. Actually, yeah, that was the year Iguodala won Finals MVP too.
Yeah,
coming off the bench. So
yeah.
There was just so many storylines to that team.
It was very fun. Yeah, I think as a fan, even casual fan. No, sorry. Let me start from.
Are
from
you
the
a casual
top.
Fan?
No, I'm not a casual fan, but it gave casual fans an excuse to watch more basketball.
Right.
Because it was different. A different style of basketball, and Steph Curry is a lovable superstar.
Right.
Same with Klay.
It was probably one of the first times that it felt like you were watching an NBA 2K game,
right,
but you're actually watching a real basketball game.
Because the scoring averages started.
And some of the shots that Steph, even to this day, takes, it's just like, is he doing it? Oh, he did it. Like,
right.
Is that going? Oh my God, it just went in.
It was Curry's first year, and then like you could see all his reactions after all the crazy shots, but they would drop, and he'd just be like, okay, I guess this,
and they
this
were
is
fun.
How we're playing.
I mean,
it was a crazy hybrid between NBA and one and Harlem Globetrotters. You had all of it in one team.
I think that it was, as a true fan of another team, I found it very hard to dislike them.
Right.
Like even in the finals, I was like, I want them to win.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Warriors to win.
Yeah.
And even then, like, you know, when they're on TV, it's like, I want to watch this team.
Right.
Because they're so, you could tell they were having fun.
Totally. I think they definitely brought even more popularity to the game just because of their playing style and who their leader was. Like
and
you
the
said,
personalities.
Steph, right. The personalities. Yeah. Everyone was so easygoing.
And sometimes it felt like they were having even a little bit too much fun. Like, they are about to lose games that they should not lose, and then they just came back during the last quarter. And
I feel that's the 73-9 Warriors and the KD Warriors that, you know, they were like, we're just messing around a little bit.
And then they...
That 2015 Warriors, I feel like, you know, it was just... No one had an answer for them. It was one of those things, like, other teams were like, well, this is our game plan, and they're playing small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... It's not like they were unstoppable. I mean, I guess they were because they won. But yeah, I mean, it was something that we were not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And teams didn't really have, I think to this day, they didn't really have a good response for it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, two top shooters and Steph and Klay, like, that was insane.
And I don't know if we're going to look back and say that was, you know, Draymond at his prime, but grabbing the rebound, leading off the break.
Right.
And then it was pick your poison, right? Like, you go guard Draymond, but you leave Steph or Klay open, or
Iguodala.
Draymond can take it all the way.
Yeah. Dan Livingston.
Even Andrew Bogut. Yeah.
David Lee was on. That
David
team
Lee
too.
Was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very fun team.
Deep. Most Bates.
Oh, most Bates. Yeah.
Wow. He was actually good with the Warriors.
He was. They knew how to play him.
Is he in the big three now? I don't know. All right. What was your other option for number two? Do you have another option?
It's going to be my number one now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had a lot of trouble coming up with number two because I had... I mean, you guys just touched on them, so I'm glad that I didn't have to decide.
Nice.
So I type here the Warriors era, you know, from 2015 all the way to 2019. Mm. It was just fun. We just talked about it. I had the Cavs winning their first championship. Because it was...
Oh, yeah. 40-something, 50 years.
Yeah. And it was the first time that Cleveland has won in
any
major
pro,
sport.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think that was...
And LeBron James winning one for his hometown. You don't get to see a lot of that. Like, LeBron... Or an athlete winning for their hometown team.
Yeah, they're right.
That doesn't really happen. It's already rare to see a superstar playing for their
hometown
team.
Yeah. Let alone win at all, right?
Yeah.
No, it's quite the accomplishment.
So, but my number two moment is from 2010, and this is my last Lakers moment in the list is the Lakers beating the Celtics.
Rightfully.
It was, you know, the modern day rivalry of Lakers and Celtics. The big three in the Celtics. So it was a big five, really. Rajon Rondo, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Kendrick Perkins versus Kobe, Powell, Andrew Bynum, who was still okay, Lamar Odom, and Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
That was, I think I've shared the story many times, but it went to game seven, I think. I had to watch it at an airport because a friend was arriving in town, and I got locked up in the coffee shop, and I was celebrating with these two, if I remember correctly, Australian dudes who also were Lakers fans. And security had to get me out of the coffee shop because they locked us in.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it was not only my favorite team won, but it was just like I was locked in at YVR in a coffee shop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was very special.
I just want to say this. People give us a lot of... people give us a hard time. I'm talking about the Trailblazers. People give us a hard time because of our... Jailblazers team, but if you have a team with Ron Artest and Lamar Odom, let me tell you that could also be considered a bad boys team.
I don't know, they were not bad boys. Like, I mean, Meta World Peace, he behaved most of the time that he was with the Lakers.
Was he Meta yet at that time? He was.
I think that was the first year that he was Meta.
Look at that.
Maybe that's why he behaved.
No, because the season before that we beat the Magic, like 2008-09,
right.
That's when we faced the Orlando Magic,
right.
And he behaved.
But it's hard, like someone like Lamar Odom, for example, it's hard for me to believe that he started doing all these things that he's wrong things, or not necessarily wrong, but he started all these bad habits after he retired. I think he was always doing that. I mean, at least the sex addiction and maybe not the cocaine, but...
But I think he said multiple times that, you know, him being traded away from the Lakers took a very high toll on him mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And because he thought that he wasn't needed or he wasn't wanted. And then when he went to the Mavs, that didn't go well with Rick Carlisle. And that's where it was just, you know, it just turned into something very dark. But he's doing better.
Mm-hmm.
So he's ending up the decade in a good spot, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, we should... That's for the next episode. Should be a plan for the future. We could come up with a Lamar Odom timeline just to see if there's any correlation between when he started dating a Kardashian and what started happening with his life.
No, because he was a champion when he was officially married to a Kardashian.
And then after that?
After that, I think... Well, I mean, they were still married. I don't know when was the turning point for him, but yeah. I mean, he won with Kardashian as his partner.
Okay.
But also that was, you know, I remember Kobe running to the scorer's table and just standing and, you know, extending his arms, that very iconic photo of Kobe celebrating with the fans, and Meta World Peace's interview after the game where he got his entire family up in the podium, and then he said, Kobe passed me the ball. He never passes me the ball. Passed me the ball.
That was good.
Because that three, that was, it looked horrible, but it went in, and that was almost a dagger.
Yeah.
And what was that other moment? I think that's it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And it was the Celtics, so yeah. All right. This is our top moment of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to start, but if you guys are okay with it, I would like to be last.
Okay.
Sure. So
Evans go first.
Raph, or yeah.
I'll do it. I'll get it out of the way. I think we've all touched on it. 2019 Raptors championship. Pretty amazing year. I mean, all the storylines, people questioning the trade. You know, they got diehard DeMar DeRozan fans. And then just beating the defending champs. You know, we saw budding stars like Pascal and Van Fleet rise to the occasion under new coach Nick Nurse. Masai Ujiri bringing in vets like Gasol and Jeremy Lin. Just for the trade deadline, helping them get their rings. So it was pretty amazing how it all unfolded. And, you know, the game has never been more popular in Canada. So, yeah.
Definitely. I wonder how Dwayne Casey feels about it.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And DeMar.
Yeah, and DeMar.
I mean, I remember when when the news dropped that DeMar had been traded, I was in disbelief because, mm-hmm. again, we've said it many, many times, it's impossible to not hear about the Raptors if you live in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you like basketball. So this was like the he was a franchise player.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was a very risky move and...
very ballsy.
Yeah.
But getting something off in return, which was...
Yeah.
Now we know that, and now it's safe to say that it was worth it, but, right. you know...
There was questions with his health, with Kawhi's health.
And... Kawhi had only played 9 games before right. that, and it's Kawhi Leonard. Like, you don't know what he's thinking. We don't really know what he's right. thinking or how he feels.
Right.
And I guess, you know, Alex McKechnie got a way to...
Figure
it out, yeah.
Yeah. Load management works, apparently.
But yeah, it was a, like with the Mavs, it was that magical underdog run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were the Cinderella of the playoffs, and there were so many times where it felt like their story was gonna get to an end,
mm-hmm.
and no, they pulled it off.
Yeah,
all the way. Chips with a dip.
Like you mentioned before, like that shot, the 4 bounces, like
crazy. I don't think we'll ever see
one thing
like
after another.
Now, do you think that they could have done the same if they had traded Kyle to the Spurs and got Kawhi and kept DeRozan?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. Because Kyle's
sort of like he's kind of like the general there as well.
He's the emotional leader of the team.
He holds them all together.
Because Van, what's his name?
Van Fleet. Fred Van Fleet.
He would become the starting point guard in that case, right?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kyle Lowry brings...
Or Jeremy Lin.
Or Jeremy Lin, yeah.
No. Then they wouldn't have a chance.
I don't know if... I also don't think you could have DeMar and Kawhi.
Oh, no.
At the same time. Potentially, I mean, you could, but they have very... I mean, Kawhi still likes taking mid-range jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Same with DeMar. I mean...
Very similar games.
It wouldn't have been the same. Huh. Raf,
okay,
your top moment of the decade.
My top moment of the decade?
Decadent. Decadent.
You know what? I'm going to go with Linsanity in 2012. No, I'm not. I'm just joking.
Oh my God.
I'm just joking. I'm gonna go with
shout out. Yeah, shame on you.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna go with the Trailblazers drafting Greg Oden. No. That's also a joke. I'm not gonna go with that.
That's probably top 10 worst moments or top 5 worst moments.
Most regrettable for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going with the 73-9 Warriors. So we already talked a lot about it, but that's the top moment that I had.
It's quite the feat.
Yeah. So I mean, I remember it was fun watching them play. And you're right, Rodrigo. That was this. The, one of the seasons where it maybe felt like some games they were not taking it as seriously as they should, but then they managed to come back in the last quarter, in the fourth quarter, and win the game anyways. But it was amazing to see that team working together and how well they knew each other. And
this was pre-KD.
Pre-KD.
Right,
so. I mean, after when KD came, for me, it was not
that it
wasn't fun
the same.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to check myself. I usually let our listeners fact check me on these things. But the 73-9 Warriors happened on April 13, 2016. That I'm just checking it on Google right now. They beat the Grizzlies. And that's how they ended up with the 73-9 record, right? But I remember that day because that was also Kobe's last game as a Laker. And I remember I invited friends over. I think you were on a trip, Rafael. We were still roommates. And we didn't even know each other, Evans. No. And I remember I invited friends. I think there were like 7-8 of us in total. And we were flipping between the channels, between Kobe's last game and the Warriors. Because one of my good friends, Jason, shout out. He's in Abu Dhabi. He's a Warriors fan, a huge Steph Curry fan. Nice. So we were switching back and forth. And every quarter after from the Lakers game, we were playing the Utah Jazz. I was wearing a different Kobe jersey from his time with the Lakers. And I remember the last quarter, you know, the last 5 minutes or whatever, I was still going back and forth between timeouts. And Jason, my friend, who I was pretty much just watching the Warriors for.
Yeah.
He said, like, no, screw that, man. Your guy is retiring. Just leave it on the Lakers game. I'm fine with that. I was like, are you serious? Like, and yeah, that was
nice.
But it was, I don't think we will ever get another date like that. April 13, 2016.
That's true.
A legend retires and
history.
Yeah. History was written in all ways, right?
Yeah.
Best team, best record in the NBA ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, a legend of the game retired on the same game and dropped 60 points.
Oh, yeah.
After you're shooting like 200 shots, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was a good... If you didn't know Kobe Bryant and you only watched that one game, you had a very good
summary
good,
of his career.
Good summary.
That's very true.
But I mean, that you could tell, like, the other Lakers didn't give a flying damn.
Oh,
they were
looking for him.
Yeah,
they were feeding it. Like, I think the Jazz even was just like, yes, just take all your shots, Kobe.
I think so, because yeah. Neither I don't know if the Jazz cared, because they were also depending on a couple other results.
Right.
And if they had won, that didn't guarantee them a spot in the playoffs.
Right.
So I don't know if someone told them at halftime, like, hey, guys, just
let it be the Kobe show.
We are the picture, so just, you know, let Kobe have his moment.
Good move.
Yeah.
Was it against the Raptors that he scored 81 points?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 2 decades ago.
Mm. Damn.
Ugh.
Who was guarding him? Do you remember? Jalen Rose?
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone had
Jalen Rose was playing for
Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Jalen Rose's book, shout out, Give the People What They Want. No, Gotta Give the People What They Want. He talks about it. He said that when, I think, who was the coach? Sam Mitchell?
Yeah.
Now, it's another good example of a coach that completely failed, and then he became a TV
analyst
yeah. And he keeps talking about the time when he was the coach.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize that he was a complete failure. So...
I think, ouch. So Jalen Rose talks about when Sam Mitchell told him, like, it's your turn, and he was like, I don't want to do this. Anyways. Yeah, no, the 73-9 Warriors,
it was fun to watch.
And scary,
yeah. Because, like, I think Clay and Steph would sit in the third quarter for most games.
Yeah.
Because they were up by, like, 50 by halftime. It was crazy.
It's probably the most effective offensive team. Maybe the Warriors with KD have to be in that conversation, but
yeah.
Quick question. Could the 73-9 Warriors beat the
72-10, right?
Yeah.
72-10 Bulls and 73-9 Warriors.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, Warriors could have beat
the
Bulls.
Warriors, yeah.
What do you think, Raf?
I'm not sure, to be honest. But
you have to give me an answer. You can't say I'm not sure.
I think they wouldn't be able to beat the Bulls.
I am going to say yes. They could have beaten the Bulls. But that's just me.
Well, but they wouldn't have their coach. That's why I'm saying no.
Oh, true. Well, I mean, you know, let's assume that it's just...
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
So... what's the name of the guy that became the coach of the Pelicans after moving from the Warriors?
Alvin Gentry.
Yes, because he was one of the assistants, right? He was one of Steve Kerr's assistants.
Yeah.
Was he the one that coached the team when Steve Kerr was out most of the season?
No, it was Luke Walton.
Luke Walton.
Mm. Yeah.
So Luke Walton or Alvin Gentry would be coaching, so I think they wouldn't have a chance.
But that's how, I mean, Luke Walton had the best start in the NBA season, I think, in history.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right. Guys, are we ready? Thank you for letting me be the last one. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's not a Lakers moment, so don't worry.
Surprise.
My number one moment of the decade, 2010 to 2019. It's been ongoing, but it started off on May 21st, 2018. May 21st, 2018. I don't expect you guys to remember this because it's not something that we bring up frequently, but take a guess. Take a wild guess. What could have happened on May 21st, 2018?
Is it related to the league or related to you?
It is related to us.
So that's when we recorded our first episode?
That's when we dropped the very first episode of Dropping Dimes, May 21st, 2018.
I had met you guys. Briefly
probably
that.
Yeah. We had met, yeah, but
crazy,
yeah, I don't think we've, other than that quick interaction at the flea market.
Yeah.
But yeah, May 21st, 2018. Yeah. It was a Monday, so we were still not on our Wednesday drop, I guess, schedule.
Wow. Seems like forever ago.
We had one microphone. Damn. We the weekend before that, Rafa and I, we had a like a
brainstorming
dry run as well. We put a microphone in the middle. We did not record it, but we had it in the middle.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah. We still have no idea what we're doing. But we decided to post it and we started telling friends, and that to me is my best moment of the decade, because now that we have UFs, we're a tremendous trio and we're gonna take over the basketball podcast world. So watch out for us in 2020 and this new decade, because we're coming for you.
But it's amazing to think how easy it was to record, to start recording the episodes, because we met some people at podcast festivals that they tell us that they've been preparing for 6 months. They've been, you know, coming up with content and trying to get comfortable with the idea of recording and so on.
Right.
And they never record their first episode, or it takes them a long time to create the courage to do it.
Yeah.
And in our case, we just did it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, just think about it. We haven't been live for, our show hasn't been live for more than a year and a half, almost 2 years, I guess, you know. May 21st is our anniversary, which, by the way, we missed this year. We should have totally remembered that. And we'll do something for when we reach that milestone of 2 years. But think about it, just what happened in the past 6 months. We've been able to take photos with the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed Alex McKechnie. We were at Ball for All.
Yeah.
We went to the BC Wheelchair Association fundraiser.
Yeah.
We were part of NBA Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
We've interviewed the Night Hoop staff.
Right.
We've had Kat Jamie from Finding Big Country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had Christina and Hal from when they were in the Grizzlies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Coach Brothers. Clay.
Yeah.
The Coach. Bryan Brothers. Demi. Coach
Michael
Demi.
Wu.
Michael Wu.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild ride, actually.
It's been been crazy, guys.
Next episode is our 50th.
Mm-hmm. And our next episode is our 50th. I mean, this is
wild.
You couldn't write this thing. You couldn't make it up.
Actually, funny enough, I had an honorable mention for a top moment. So I wanted to throw it in there. It was the 2019 preseason. This season when we all got to see Luka Doncic play live.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to go down as one of the more memorable games, just because the nature of, you know, who he is. He's such a...
And who he will be, potentially.
And who he will be, as well as seeing Porzingis and... what he's doing for the Mavs.
I think we should make it our goal to interview Luka. He's the official young player. Like, we'll
see him
in
Spanish.
Ooh. In Spanish?
Yeah.
In both languages.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
But
that's all you guys have.
We don't know what will happen, right? And I mean, considering that he's not going to become an injury-prone player and he's not going to have a horrible injury in the near future, I think he's gonna be one of the most important players of the decade that is just starting, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is my top moment starting off on this wild adventure. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
But it's not going to end here. If anything, it's going to get even better. So watch out for all the things that we're going to bring.
More to come.
This year, the next decade, the decade after that, and... when we're in a retirement home, we're still going to do this. And we're going to criticize the younger generations for ruining basketball, probably. So, yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. Can't wait for the future and what's ahead of us.
When we are retired and when we are there at our retirement home, can we please keep playing basketball just like those old ladies that you showed me today?
Ooh, oh, yeah. Shout out to the Casablanca team.
Casablanca? Carta Blanca.
Carta Blanca, sorry. Look them up on Google. So, all the best to everyone that is listening. It's a fresh year.
New year.
It's a new year. If you have any resolutions, go get them. You know, just like the Raptors went and got their championship, go get them. And we wish you nothing but the best. Keep supporting us. You can actually start off the year off with on the right track by leaving a review and rating us on Apple Podcasts. Otherwise... no, you know what? There's no otherwise this time around.
Starting clean.
Donation would be nice if you want to make a donation.
No, let's start off clean. Let's start off with just a nice rating. 5 stars. Leave a review. Tell us what you want to hear from us. If there's anything you want to hear throughout 2020, if you want to be part of the pod, let us know. We're open.
Or interviews sort of. That you're interested.
Exactly. If you know someone that or deserves to be interviewed, let us know. This is your show. Well, this is
no,
our
it's
show.
Not.
But
it's our show.
It's our show, but
it's for the people.
It's for the people. We want to drop a dime and let the people have their voice as well.
Yes.
As always, make sure that you're following us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, on Twitter at dropping_dimes1, facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. www.dropping-times.com, that's our website where you can check all of our episodes. Our email contact at dropping-times.com. Guys, next episode, 50th episode, we have to celebrate. Hopefully we'll have something to give out and promote it. Fingers crossed. But yeah, stay tuned. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Happy New Year, everyone. Peace out.